Welcome everyone for To More Than Mises, guys. We are finishing out the original miniseries of the GoBots with the final conflict, much like V, the final conflict. But this is different because it's GoBots.
Well,
So
it
I'm
takes place
here
on
with.
Earth, so is it Earth Final Conflict?
Oh wow, nice catch. So I'm here with Boo, the axelonunderground.com. Check it out, axelonunderground.com or .net if you prefer to be edgy and different. And also check out the Axelon Underground on facebook.com.
There
if
are
you
links on the
choose.
website, so
There are. Amazing. So we
it's
are
crazy how
here.
that works.
Yeah,
And
exactly.
howdy, everyone.
So when we last left our heroes, Leader One was all bent up and limping across a scrapyard while Zod was just having fun playing with him.
Yeah, Leader One was in really bad shape.
I didn't put two and two together about the energy levels and like how he looks and stuff. So it's kind of neat to have this as a reminder, because as we'll find out later, there's something very, I guess, symbiotic with energy and their bodies.
Yes.
But for the time being, we're just watching him limp around and trying to like keep Zod from eating him. But Zod goes and chomps down on Leader One pretty hard.
Oh, he chews him up. And, when he's limping, I couldn't help but think that, he's an airplane and, there's those birds that'll fake like a broken wing to like lead predators away.
Yeah, actually, that checks out really nicely.
I kind of thought about that when I saw that, but he's actually hurt. He's not faking it.
Yeah. So he grabs a stick, almost like a Yoda walking stick, like a small one, and he leads Zod to the car compactor.
Yeah, he's trying to lead him over to the big compactor. And meanwhile, Psykill gets mad even when he receives good news from Braxis. Like, he just hates hearing from Braxis, period.
You get the feeling he hates Braxis.
Yeah, like, he's like, Braxis calls and he's like, what? And then he gives him good news and he's like, oh, okay. So,
yeah, I get that. I feel that with work.
Yeah, so it's just, I love seeing how they banner back and forth. And
Oh
yeah,
man.
Psykill is having like none of it.
Zod and Psykill hate each other, but they're both after
Oh,
the same thing.
Braxis.
Braxis, sorry, God. Braxis and Psykill are they hate each other, bro. They're after the same thing in different ways. So you have
In a way, Braxis is kind of like toadying after him. But I guess
to a point.
he's starting to see that it's not getting him anywhere. Like, when they first show up, he was really kissing butt.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, it's just nothing he does is really helping. And he hasn't done anything wrong. Braxis has pretty much done everything right so far, according
Well,
to plan.
within reason, like with what he can do, but I think Psykill actually expects more out of him, so there's a problem there.
Yeah, but I mean, everything Psykill's put him to do,
Yeah,
he's accomplished. And I mean, whereas the rest of the Renegades keep declaring the deaths of the Guardians prematurely.
Well, not just the rest of the Renegades, as we'll find out.
Oh yeah, so yeah, Zod even hits him with his breath weapon when he attacks Leader One. So yeah, he failed that reflex save.
He takes a nice hit.
Yeah.
Oh, for you
And it was
energy.
kind of cool to watch him because he's like thrashing him around. It's like somebody was watching like Jaws or something.
I actually, Zod is one of those I never played with the Zod at all. But they show Zod in a full playability in this episode.
Oh, yeah. Well, I've got a Zod on my desk. I love it. He's a big, chonky toy.
Of
And
course you do.
oh, yeah. Well, he's got like big monster truck tires on him. Like,
Yeah.
they don't show it, I mean, quite as well on here. I mean, he's got big tires, like he's a big tricycle. But
it's really kind of a shame we never saw a Zod on the, like, a monster truck, circuit. Because you saw all these different kinds of, like, Bigfoot and, all the different ones that we'd see on the monster truck circuit. You'd think Zod would be a great one, because you remember how they have the transforming monster truck thing that
oh
was still
yeah.
They could have had a Zod.
Well, they had something like that, I thought.
They probably had something equivalent, but not really Zod.
Yeah, they had like different dinosaur looking things.
Yeah.
And then, on The Simpsons, they had Truckosaurus.
Yes,
So
they
I always
did.
thought of Zod when I saw Truckosaurus on there.
Oh God. Or the Crushinator on Futurama, if you'd like.
Right.
Leader
Yeah,
One.
Zod's pretty scary here. Sorry.
Yeah, no, he's great.
Yeah.
He tricks Zod. Like, Leader One realizes how the car compactor works, and he jumps in there with his like Yoda walking stick, and tricks Zod into coming after him.
Yeah. And I mean all the hydraulic compressors are just like smashing, and then he just Sarah Connors
He
Zod's
does.
head.
He does. He makes him a flathead. Sorry, every time I think of like, flathead, I think of Kids in the Hall. You are a flathead. He hits the he turns he basically crushes the head of Zod, and then he throws the stick into his nerve center, which is the big red circle in the middle.
Yeah, he uses like a javelin and triggers his
Yeah.
nerve center, which Turbo said before, I believe, about it.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, and so, because it makes, when he crushes the head, Zod's not stopped by having his head crushed
Oh
either.
no.
He just rears up and like he's mad, and that's when he hits his nerve center. He reveals his weak point.
I think the way Turbo puts it is like, you can't really stop a Zod except for you hit his nerve center. It's a circle
Yeah.
on his belly. And that's
Yeah.
what happens.
Yeah, he
It
just.
was, well, it was such a call to the toy.
Oh, it totally was. It's showing you the play pattern here.
Yeah.
And also, to me, it's a callback to The Hobbit, which Smaug had that one
One scale.
weak spot. Yeah, one scale. And that's what, I'm pretty sure they had some inspiration from that. And the
Oh,
dragons,
sure.
the dragon stories of old, because, I mean, that's what Zod is, basically. He's a dragon on wheels.
Yeah, I mean, he kind of is. He's a metallic dragon on wheels. Yeah. Good
Yeah,
way to
he's
put
even got
it.
like breath weapon. Oh.
He does. It's a great
Yeah.
breath weapon, too. But after Zod's taken out, Leader One collapses, and Turbo confirms that if he doesn't get a major influx of energy, he's going to die.
Yeah.
Anya Turgenova,
Which
who.
they have now pulled her out of the zombification.
They kind of like off scripted that one. It's
Yeah,
like,
that was.
well, Matt is like all about it, so he's gonna get her and like give her a Bluetooth headpiece also. So
Yeah, and they mentioned last time they only had one left after they gave Matt his, so.
yeah, which I was kind of surprised because I didn't think about the fact that Matt was gonna do this, but Matt's all about him some Eastern Bloc strange.
Oh yeah, there's some James Bond vibes going here.
There is. Thank God they didn't use any James Bond kind of names. Anya runs jumper cables from Zod to Leader One. I mean, essentially it's what it does. And
Yeah, it's a little more technical, but yeah, she suggests, well, why don't we hook it up to that thing? And they're like, oh, well, I don't know. And they said it could reactivate Zod if you're not careful.
I think Turbo says like, if you're not careful, you can reactivate Zod. And
So even with his head crushed, Zod is not dead.
no.
And they're still scared of him. They're like, oh no, that thing could wake up and trash us all right now. So.
But nice thing is it works because we're of course it works. It's the good guys. And Leader One pulls a full on Christine. Have you ever
That is
seen
exactly what I wrote down too. Was a like,
nice.
yeah, I go, GoBots heal like Christine when given an
It's
energy source.
like I Anya's like, show me. And Leader One like gets all straightened out and like all healed and stuff.
Yeah, all the pieces start like reshaping like memory metal. They go back where they are. But yeah, it's just like what you saw in Christine where the grill starts reshaping back and
Show
the
me.
yeah. The fenders reform. And this is the second time we've had a Stephen King reference because we had, Children of the Corn last episode.
You're right. Actually, you're very right. That's funny. I'm gonna take a picture of my notes to show you that he pulls a Christine. Because I legitimately had the same freaking notes.
Oh yeah, and we didn't even discuss this at
No,
all. This
we
episode, no.
didn't. I watched the episode and like, That's like Christine.
So, considering the stuff that, we've watched in common, I mean, there, I don't think there's anywhere else I've seen anything do that
Oh
like
no.
Christine.
My wife and I, we both really like horror movies, and we like horror anthology things where they talk about like there's actually one called In Search of Darkness 1, 2, and 3 where they talk about the decade of the 80s, and that is one of people's favorite scenes of a horror movie. We're during Christine, where the main character is like he, I guess all a bunch of jocks, beat up Christine, his car, and just destroy it. And he just stands in front of her, and he basically goes, "Show me." They basically show me you can fix yourself. And Christine completely does. It's a really cool reverse animation thing they did on that. But
Maybe we've stumbled across something that Christine was actually a renegade GoBot.
makes so much sense because Christine loved killing people.
Right? Maybe, that could have been like Crasher's mom.
She's a very, very pretty lady.
Those two would have got along really well, I think.
Yep.
The only thing I think they would have had conflict over is if they both wanted the same victim.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
No, it's mine.
Yeah. You have to give them some space. They're like big solitary cats. They gotta have their space.
So Scooter, AJ, and Nick are still in the command center while Psy-Kill takes it back to Cheyenne Mountain. And things are looking bad for them, but they're trying to, figure out what to do here, and they're trying to figure out how to save Leader One.
Oh yeah. And Psy-Kill is chewing out Copter and Crasher because Turbo showed back up after they swore he was dead.
But wait, there's more.
And he correctly surmises that, well, if Turbo survived, then Scooter's probably alive too.
Definitely.
So,
But you notice he didn't do the same thing when it came to Leader One. He didn't act the same way.
oh yeah, we'll get to that. But here's the ultimate insult. If you notice, he turns to Braxis and actually treats Braxis as if he's his only competent minion. And
Which is
he
saying a
tell
lot.
yeah, he doesn't say it with any derision. He actually says it, well, almost like, like he has faith in Braxis. And he says, yeah, you need to go and I'm putting you in charge of security of Cheyenne Mountain. And yeah, he says it like, okay. He doesn't come out and say it, but the tone and everything, it and demeanor is that, well, you're the only one that's doing stuff right so far. So now you're in charge of security here.
And yeah, man, Braxis is like, "Thank you, sir."
Oh,
And
yeah.
he is licking so much boot right now. But I think Braxis is one of those who is he sees the advantage of building strong ties with of I guess his betters. He's like, "Okay, if I do this, I'll end up better off in the end."
He seems like his villain origin story would have been him being underappreciated and basically being the scientist that he does all the work, but his boss takes all the credit and he keeps getting passed over for it. So you just throw him a crumb, and I mean, he just becomes a pussycat for Psy-Kill right away. Like all the grumbling and the begging is gone. He's like, he's going to show him.
And he's good at it, though. He's really good at it.
Yeah.
Not taking anything away from him at all. Yeah, so I'm trying to get back to my notes here. We go back. Oh, sorry. The command center makes his way back to Cheyenne Mountain.
Yes.
And Scooter, Nick, and AJ leave it to open a way to the mountain to allow Leader One and Turbo inside because they found out that Turbo and Leader One are still coming because Leader One radios Scooter while they're in the command center.
Yeah, so he wants to let them know and tells them, oh, good, you're in. So now find a way to get us in.
As much as I think Scooter's, he's. I know GoBots came first, but he's essentially Bumblebee. He doesn't have a lot of like really competent warrior skills, but he's really good at what he does.
Oh, yeah. And, Bumblebee was, his whole thing was espionage. And I
exactly what
mean,
Scooter does.
yeah, and I think Scooter does it a little better.
Oh, he does.
He is captured a whole lot less than Bumblebee.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong at all.
Man, can you imagine Michael Bay's GoBots? Like, how much tougher would Scooter be now? See, after you see what he did with Bumblebee, what would he do with Scooter, who's like actually pretty good at the espionage thing?
Scooter would become a Vespa.
Right. Oh,
Instead of a
no. He'd
moped.
be like a Harley or something, or
You're not
yeah.
wrong. Oh man. So obviously, because they're going to infiltrate the base, he dons the Psy-Kill hologram again.
Oh yeah, he's like, well, it worked one time before, because they're like, well, if they see us walking around, they're going to be alerted. So,
Oh yeah.
and he goes around doing like a Patton type speech to everyone.
Very good. Carry on.
Yes, we're at like we're nearing victory. Blah blah. You know, he's giving a pep talk as he's walking on the street or the street
Soldiers,
the hallway.
we're at the precipice. Continue on
Yeah.
the way you're doing.
He's really hamming it up as Psy-Kill.
He's great. He's actually really enjoyable at this.
Scooter gets a lot of flack, and I know it's because of his voice,
It is. It's 100% because of his voice.
but he's a good character.
He's like a he's a character that doesn't really want to be involved as much as he is, but he was, he's a main character. He's needed, so he uses his skills well.
Yeah, he's not real confident in his abilities,
Yeah.
but he pulls it off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He does a great job at it too, and I'll be honest, Leader One is the least dynamic character in the Guardians.
Oh yeah. And I know.
Turbo's fun, and Scooter actually has the most character arc in the entire thing.
Oh yeah, I think we get more time with Scooter than anybody else.
Which he's supposed to be the lens of that's why Nick is with him so much. He's the lens for the Watcher.
And I go back to what like Bob Ford and Larry DiTilio said when they were working on Beast Wars, that for Optimus Primal and Megatron, they're like, you know, they're your static characters. There's, you know, you've
Yeah.
got your Boy Scout and your baddie, and it's all the peripheral characters that you really get to play with and develop.
God, especially like Dinobot and that.
Oh yeah, well, Dinobot, Tarantulas, you know, Rat
Oh yeah.
Trap, all of, and that's what you have here is like, you know, Leader One has to be the Boy Scout. He's Captain America, you know, and so he's got to be unchanging. Whereas you see, you get banter and real like character growth in Turbo and Scooter.
Yeah, I really think Tarantulas is the best character out of Beast Wars. Dinobot is right there with him, though.
Oh yeah, Tarantulas and Dinobot are my two favorites in Beast Wars.
They're so good because they're so ambiguous with their loyalties, and they're smarter than anyone else in the show.
Oh yeah, well, between them and like Megatron, they're the only ones that really knew what was going on.
Well, Black Arachnia too.
Yeah. Well, that's because she was stealing info from the three of
Because she's smart about that. That's
Right?
a completely different show. We can't wait to I cannot wait to get to Beast Wars, but for now, our friends of the show, Jim and Mike, all over on the show podcast, will be working on that.
Is the TV show?
TV show show. Thank you.
Yeah, TV show.
We'll get there eventually. They're way ahead of us with this because we have to go through a lot of stuff. I actually want to. When we finish the Sunbow a TV show, I want to go through the G2 comics and then lead into Beast Wars.
Oh yeah.
I think it'd be a
There's a
great way
lot
to
of
go.
80s to go through before you get to the 90s.
There is. We have a long way to go. I'm so glad all of you are here joining us for the entire run because it's a long way to go. But anyways, back to this episode.
I thought you were about to break into the Star Trek Enterprise theme song.
No, I'm not Rod Stewart, near nor will I be. So yes, I dubbed him. I dubbed him Psy Turbo. Psy
Turbo.
Turbo walks into the security room and clears it out. He basically says, "All right, everyone else," in Psy
Oh, you
Kid's
mean Psy
voice.
Scooter?
Was that?
Size scooter, you mean?
Oh God, a Psy Turbo, Psy Scooter. Yes, thank
You
you.
monster.
What did I do? I did it twice. Yeah, Psy Scooter walks into the security room and says, "Everybody out!" In Psykill's voice. But Braxis is mad about. Braxis goes like, "Well, so are we going to?" Hold on 1 second. My plug apparently came out. There we go.
There you go.
So, Braxis is like, "Are we delaying the invasion?" And Psykill's like, "Oh yeah, yes." And he gets super mad.
Oh yeah, because he's like he postponed it, and everything's going cool between Braxis and Psykill,
Yeah.
and then this is the point where Braxis is supposed to take over the Earth. He's getting ready to crown himself, and he's like, "Wait, why are you postponing this?" Yeah.
Yeah, and a Psy Scooter doesn't have to get an answer for this.
Well, he just mocks him.
Yeah.
He goes, "Oh, hey, control of the earth to you."
Yeah,
And
which makes sense still, but yeah.
but man, did it make Braxis mad.
And he grabs a laser rifle.
Yeah,
Gets
I mean,
ready. Well, he gets ready to shoot Psykill in the back, which is a pretty brazen thing to do.
He was mad because, like I said, I think if you did a villain origin for him, it's like this happens to him repeatedly in life, and that's why he turned out to be the jerk that he is. So this is like the last straw for Braxis. He's like, "I'm not having this anymore. I've done everything you wanted. I did it right, and you're gonna like yank the rug out from under me at the last minute."
Yeah, essentially, it is exactly that.
And I mean, he shows really good expression too. Like you see his face really like screw up and he's like mad. Braxis is
Big
pissed.
mad.
Yeah, he's big mad. And it's to me, it's kind of tragic from the villain side because it's like Braxis and Psykill were cool until Scooter came in and screwed it up. So it's cool for the Guardian side, but yeah, for once,
It was definitely the Scooter did so much more than Psykill could have done on his own. I feel almost feel like I almost feel like Braxis didn't quite trust Psykill, and he almost like he was got some confirmation bias that made him like totally turn on Psykill.
I was about to say that. It's like basically Scooter turned what Braxis was expecting anyway against him. And for a second, Braxis had hope that Psykill was going to follow through.
Yeah.
And then he yanked that out from under him. And that just, it really messed Braxis up.
Confirmation bias is a funny thing, y'all.
Oh, yeah. And then while this is going on, the Renegade Fortress falls.
Yes.
Which, by the way, I meant to mention this earlier one. Did you notice it was hovering before?
You showed this to me. We're going to include it on the video portion of this. I want to encourage everyone to go watch the YouTube version of this to see what was in the actual hologram or the hologram, the image that was on Hans Cuff.
Oh yeah, when Hans Cuff is pulling that out. Yeah, you asked about that last time. Dun
So
dun.
you'll
Oh, there's
see a little of
Tank.
this.
That's a nice figure.
It's a great figure. I will say that though. I actually mine broke at one point because there's a real weak point on the leg transformation part of it. But he, if you don't transform him, I don't transform him. He looks fantastic. He has like a rail gun thing on his arm. Really good. It's also heavy. You could take out two burglars with this one.
But
So
yeah,
everyone,
hovering above Hans Cuff is the. Oh, sorry, go ahead. What
oh,
were you
I was
saying?
gonna say, I encourage everyone to get an image on the YouTube of what Hans Cuff has above him,
Well,
which
if you can, watch these episodes. They're
oh yeah.
good. They're fun to watch.
Man, I'll tell you, I was ready to discount a lot of the animation, but it really is very our generation watched heavy metal. We've talked about this before. The episodes are very heavy metal adjacent, just that the animation style is consistent, it is nice, it is crisp. There is expression on the humans' faces. Actually, there's an expression on the GoBots' faces quite a bit.
Yeah, they knew what they're doing.
They did a great job. And yes, it is done by Hanna-Barbera. And yes, there is a lot of recycled, sound clips of lasers firing, and it almost sounds like Space Ghosts or Blue God, what's his name?
Oh, we're talking about Blue Falcon and
Blue
Dynamite?
Falcon. Yeah, you hear a
Yeah.
lot of the same power beam sounds, but it isn't taken away by how good this is animated, how well it was
Yeah.
done.
Well, I mean, there were the sound, same sound effects you heard on like Johnny Quest, too.
They were. They,
Yeah.
I was gonna say that. There's the same sound effects you heard on every on Thunder the Barbarian, on Herculoids, all that stuff.
Birdman.
Birdman, yeah.
No.
They're good sound bites, but you also hear as we already said, Star Wars sound bites.
Yeah.
The animation is really good. The expressions on the faces on all of the characters. Crasher is becoming easily one of my favorite characters because she has a lot of, I don't know, depth in the emotion of what she says.
She says things that belies a deeper character.
She does. I did not expect that. You got me to want to do this miniseries. You were like on me about it for a while. Like, we should watch this. We should watch, because your kids, were current children, are enjoying this so much.
Oh
And
yeah,
I
they
thought,
love it.
oh yeah. And I thought, well, I should check this out again. And maybe I'm misremembering how good or bad it was. Crasher's fantastic.
Schoolyard bias is powerful.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Nostalgia bias is very
Yeah.
powerful.
This is almost like the anti-nostalgia for a lot of people that like, poo-poo it. They're like, oh yeah,
Yeah.
it's GoBots, but it was seriously underrated and it gave Transformers a run for its money.
It really should have. Honestly, the way that the GoBots figures were very, a lot of the times they're very monolithic in the way they transformed and the way they looked. But the show was really good about establishing some really great things. And your profile picture on Zoom here is Jeeper Creeper, and he was a great character for the short time he's in there.
Yeah, he made a real impression.
He did. Like, to me, Tank made a big impression. There are so many good things about this, and as children of the 80s, about the 80s deregulation of cartoons and toys, there were so many good things that came from this, and we were kind of. We lump them all together as big mash of like 80 stuff, and Optimus Prime and Megatron show up really big in there, but we forget a lot of the other things that were really good in this. And I think GoBots were really underrated in how good they were, especially the deluxe or super GoBots. So
I think the animation style is what a lot of people judged it on, which
yeah.
there's nothing wrong with this animation. But anime was coming up. This is when anime was making its rise, and we had
Robotech.
Robotech. I mean, of course, you had Toei doing Transformers. You had Thundercats
Yeah.
from Rankin Bass,
Rankin
but it was still
Bass.
anime styled though. Wheeled Warriors was also anime
I
styled.
love that show.
Yeah. So you had that was kind of like the way things were going, is they were really leaning hard into that. And then it wasn't long after that that like Akira showed up, and that made like that cemented, the anime style into American animation.
You're not wrong, actually. And by the way, I have to correct you. It's Jace in the Wheeled Warriors.
Yes, Jace and the Wheeled Warriors. Yeah.
J. Michael Straczynski, who worked on Babylon 5, was the main story editor on Jace and the Wheeled Warriors. If you're a Babylon 5 fan, you should appreciate the writing of that show too.
Larry DiTilio worked on it as well.
Oh, he did, actually. You're right.
Yeah.
Larry DiTilio, who worked with Beast Wars with Bob Ford, who also was a arch an architect of our childhood. So,
Yeah, all these guys go back. And well, and they even went further back together, back onto Masters of the Universe, like He-Man and the
that's
Masters of the
right.
Universe. Yeah.
I will admit, I know you're a huge He-Man the Masters of the Universe fan. It didn't really. I guess it didn't quite catch me. I had a lot of the toys and stuff. The show was pretty good, but it didn't have the long lasting effect that Transformers, in a way, GoBots had for me. So,
Yeah, I came in like right there on that, I guess that high fantasy arc that we had with Conan and
oh yeah,
Krull and well,
Kroll,
Sword and the Sorcerer.
Kroll.
Right?
I Sword and Sorcerer. I remember finally. I need to watch that again at some point.
I just showed that one to the kids like a week or two ago.
Yeah,
Yeah.
it honestly, that in was it Blood and Flesh and Blood? That's another good one.
But yeah, so I picked up on that with He-Man, and I originally liked the mini comics, because the mini comics, it was like a post-apocalyptic world with like lost technology and magic. So in that way, it was a lot like what Thundar the Barbarian
I was about to say
experienced
that
in.
where you were saying like a Thunder the Barbarian, we didn't appreciate the fact that it was very post-apocalyptic, like the fantasy and post-apocalyptic, kind of technology stuff.
Yeah, it was a good mix of sci-fi and fantasy together. Like,
Yeah, I think being as a we're D&D nerds as we are, I think Thunder the Barbarian would have made a great fantasy setting for a lot of stuff with RPG stuff.
oh yeah, it was almost like it was a post-apocalyptic Shadowrun.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
We actually at one point friends and I were playing the precursor of the Shadowrun, which I'm trying to think of the name of right now. It was a fantasy version of Shadowrun. Oh my gosh, I cannot remember the name of it right now. So much freaking fun. And it led to you kind of creating a story as you're telling what you're going to do. Oh my gosh, what is the name of that stuff? I'm going to look it up right now while we're talking.
Okay. Well, while you're looking that up, I can talk about some He-Man stuff.
Yes, please do.
Well, like, I was really into those mini comics, and they had Alcala did the artwork in them, and like Skeletor looked really scary and creepy looking. It looked almost like old horror comic artwork. And then when the Filmation cartoon came out, as a kid, I was actually put off a little bit on there because it was toned down from what those mini comics were, because they wouldn't have been able to put those mini comics on TV back then.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, with the satanic panic going on and everything, and He-Man was already catching flack for it. So they toned it down. They went more with what they did in the DC comics, which was kind of a takeoff of DC's Captain Marvel, Shazam,
Oh, yeah.
which you have the kid turn into the hero and stuff like that. But yeah, so I was put off on that, but the Masters of the Universe cartoon grew on me. But yeah, I was kind of, I was iffy about it at first because I was like, who's this Prince Adam guy? Because in the mini comics, He-Man was like a barbarian that was like gifted like magical and like sci-fi weapons and armor.
He was, and that actually worked really well like Man at Arms, because Man
Yeah.
at Arms was like he would use guns and also like maces and stuff.
Oh yeah. Well, in the mini comics, Man-at-Arms shows up almost like the pilot from Mad Max with his little gyrocopter.
Oh,
Like
he
he's got all the
does.
gadgets and stuff. Like he's the master of all the lost technology. And they eventually worked that in with the classics, which they made that actually an earlier He-Man, which he was I believe Ular, which he was like the savage He-Man. So that story does exist now in the lore.
Also with I'll say the fantasy version of Shadowrun was Earthdawn.
Earthdawn, okay. Yeah, I never played that one.
It's actually a lot of fun. The idea of Earthdawn was you have you know it's like a fantasy setting for Earth, for it's fantasy setting for Shadowrun, where like my favorite character on that I played was a troll archer. I just had a little fairy, one of the other players would like sit on my shoulder as a fairy. But there was a lot of stuff where you would do better if you could story tell your way through things. If you could like create a story, like a really neat arc, you would do better. So I really appreciated that. And so yeah, in a way that was very much like I guess Earth Dawn plus a little Shadowrun was really Thunder the Barbarian.
Yeah.
So anyways, sorry, Ed just got back to me. He has I was like, man, what is it? You had to tell me. He's like, it's Earth Dawn. And he's like, what brought that up? I'm like, dude, I'm talking about He-Man right now. He's like, oh yeah, okay. Anyways,
Hey, Ed.
that's a long meandering.
But yeah, well, going back to what you're saying, is like there was just like an explosion of these licensed properties, and they called them commercial attunes in the 80s. They just exploded, and it kept going in the 90s. It kind of toned down a little bit in the 90s.
It
They dialed it
did.
back a little.
I'll tell you the one show that I was really surprised I liked a lot was the they did a Conan very similar to what Conan was like rather than the movies. But yeah,
I
they
remember
did a
seeing that
Conan.
advertised, but I never watched it.
It was pretty good. A lot of like reptilian, like dark gods kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It was very 90s, early 90s cartoons stuff. But it was actually pretty good, and I think it would have fit really well with Thunder the Barbarian. By the way, everyone, I told Ed whenever he's ready to get back to this, let me know, and he said he will do that. So we'll get back to Transformers eventually, but right now we've got Boo and we've got GoBots.
That's good news for all you Ed heads out there.
Oh, you! Oh, so many Edheads. I know you are there.
So yeah, we've named his fan base now. They're Ed heads.
They love the flowing black locks.
Man, who doesn't?
I'm sorry. I'm trying.
Yours is
Might
growing
have.
out of the wrong side of your face.
We'll get there eventually. Anyways, Yeah, so the Renegade Fortress has fallen, but Pathfinder it tells them all that there is an army of Zods coming their way.
Well, and here's something. It's a clever play on that, though, because in the previous episodes, if you look at the Renegade Fortress, it's
Yeah.
hovering. It floats.
It does. It's like the it's almost like the Temple of Doom, not Temple of Doom. What is the DC
Oh, the Legion of
Council,
Doom?
Legion of Doom. Thank you, Legion of
Yeah.
Doom. Except instead of floating in a swamp, it floats on Gobatron.
Right, and it's like got a big mushroom tower.
Yeah.
But yeah, so when it's fallen, it's literally fallen and it's like wrecked.
Yeah,
Yeah.
they got the repulsor lifts and everything for that.
Yeah, so that's when Hans Cuff comes out and he's got all the Renegades that were in it, which apparently there's just four left. Yeah, there was Tank, Phytor, Jeepers Creepers,
Oh,
and
sorry.
Bogeyman. Yeah.
Sorry.
Oh, there's Phytor. See, hey, put him next to that tank, and you should probably have the proportions
Actually,
from the
that's a good
previous
point.
episode.
God, Tank's huge. Yeah.
Show us. Show us. I
Okay, fine. I'll show you.
want to
Here you go.
see.
No, here you go. I'll show you.
There we go. Yeah,
There you
see,
go.
that looks cool.
Yeah.
We need a tank as a super GoBot.
We really do.
Yeah.
That was a shame. I think we need a tank as a super GoBot now with current technology of action figures.
We need Commander class tank.
Oh man, I'm trying to spend that much money, but that would hook me immediately. I want a tank the size of Fortress Maximus.
Oh, wow. You want a Titan class tank?
Yes.
Titana tank?
Don't tell my wife. Yes, I do.
I found it at Ross. It
It
was $6.
was only $200, but it could have been $210 if I bought it new. That'll work. Yeah,
I'm sure
so
that'll work. So yeah, they're giving the debriefing to the Guardians Council now
yeah.
that, apparently the Renegades don't even care at this point. They didn't, unless they brainstormed them off camera.
Yeah,
They
I don't
told
know.
them, yeah, they told them that a bunch of Zods are coming their way.
I kind of feeling like yeah, they got the message that all the Zods are coming, so they're like, yeah, let's just give up, and we're gonna get really good payoff here soon. So let's just hang out.
Yeah, they're not gonna fight and die because they know that, Psykill and his armada's on the way, so they're just gonna get let out. They might spend a
Yeah.
weekend in the slammer.
Like the January 6th guys. Anyways,
What was that? It broke up. I didn't.
so
Well, there's some oddballs there in the council. I don't know if you noticed.
I what you got?
Okay, so you see Zemon and Pathfinder and those guys. Tank is on the Guardian Council.
What? I missed that completely.
Yeah, as is Loco.
I missed that
Yeah,
completely.
they drew Tank. See, I told you last time that it seems like as they tried to wrap this up, they got a little rushed. So we've got almost like a ACOM error here where we've got, yeah,
But
Loco is
much.
standing right next to Zemon, and you see Tank's back, like he's facing Zemon with his back to the camera.
But much better animated, much cleaner.
Oh yeah.
They
And
could have put Dive Dive in there. Come on, man.
oh yeah, that would have been cool. But see, this is where I told you it gets a little weird because this was originally like a movie, like a TV
Yeah.
movie, and then it was chopped up. Apparently, there's two different cuts for this scene.
Really?
Yes, because pardon me. In this scene, getting choked up.
I could
In this
tell.
scene, Zemon starts talking, and then the council disappears behind him. Like they're just not there. The cells are gone. Okay. And then it cuts over to Pathfinder. She speaks, and then she keeps moving her head and stuff like she's still speaking, but she's not saying anything. So like the voices are out of sync or something.
Okay, so I gotta interject real quickly. I thought my AirPods I was watching this on were out of sync. Okay, it was actually the episode.
It's actually the episode.
Okay. Continue.
Okay, so the difference is if you find the copy, I think it's only on VHS. And if you find a copy of that cut, it cuts off right before the council disappears when Zemon's talking. It's about 3 seconds. And then that syncs up better with Pathfinder and her voice doesn't like cut out while she's still talking. So it's
Nice.
like in this cut, there's a few seconds of extra time between the shot moving to Pathfinder, like on Zemon's shot. So it's too
Okay.
long and it throws out a scene. But it only does it for this scene. When it cuts to the next scene, everything's normal again.
Obviously.
Yeah. But yeah, so it was out of sync just for that little bit.
Okay, I was wondering if it was just my phone watching the episode, or if it was actually just, if it's my AirPods or whatever. But it's interesting that it did that.
Yeah, it was an editing error in the animation side of things.
Okay,
So.
cool. But way back to the episode here, real quick,
Yes.
Braxis escapes and goes to tell Psy-Kill and others that what's going on with the with Psy Scooter.
Yeah,
And
because Scooter
come.
drops his hologram once he starts firing at him, because.
Yeah.
Yeah, then AJ and Nick show up and they're like, "Look out, Scooter!" And
Yeah.
he's like, "Ah, those meddling kids."
And so Braxis escapes and goes to tell them everything like that. Leader One is approaching, but the Zod army growls in its way to Gobatron. Basically, Leader One's approaching, but like Psy-Kill's like, it doesn't matter. They're gonna launch. So they're all growling and like launching. It basically like, oh well, you tried hard, but you didn't make it. You there?
Oh, yeah, I'm here. There's something I wanted to check real quick on this.
Okay, no problem. I can keep talking. The humans and guardians fight back, and AJ and Nick procure a couple of tanks. These are really cool tanks, by the way. They're like this brownish tan color. They've got these almost like rail guns on top of them. Then they those are the ones that sound like land speeders,
Oh, yeah. And
and
that's
they
what I was
power up.
looking for because I mistakenly thought that it might have been when the Zods launched, but there's something else that launched earlier and it made the Millennium Falcon noise.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like when the Millennium Falcon takes off. And I have misplaced where that was. I thought that was the Zods, so that's what I was listening for. I had to mute myself.
I love so much love the Psy-Kill quotes in this episode. Psy-Kill, he's just like he's pissed off that everything's going wrong. He is like, if you want the destruction done right, you have to do it yourself.
Oh yeah, and well, like you were talking about earlier, when they finally revealed that Leader One is not dead,
Yeah.
yeah, he's like, "Oh, that's impossible," and then he just kind of lets it go,
Yeah.
like he realized, "Oh, look, I did the same thing everybody else did that I've been, verbally abusing everyone over." It's like,
Things
"Oh, well,
I do as well. Yeah.
yeah, when I do it, it doesn't count."
It's different. It's way different.
Yeah.
But yeah, I love that because he just kind of grumbles to himself, like if you want destruction done right, you have to do it yourself.
Oh yeah,
He
he stomps off too.
he is really big mad right now. But I love that about him. He's like, he's like, man, I'll take care of this. But he shows up and has a fight with Leader One. Leader One chases him down. Leader One with his Zod stolen energy is like
Yeah.
shooting, like his fist, weapons at him. And AJ and Nick, I'm sorry, no, God, Matt and Anya, sorry, surprise him with laser rifles. They like jump out of a cubby,
Oh
like
yeah.
surprise. And
Well, and Scooter finally, hacked it open, the code to let him into Cheyenne Mountain.
that's right, they did.
He did some heavy duty hacking there because it was like a numeric code he had to hack, so.
And once again, Scooter is a much better character than we all remember.
He hacked the Gibson.
He did.
So,
But
yeah, and then, well, they fight Crasher after that. Because Turbo comes in and Crasher stomps their shockwave at him.
before that, though,
Oh, before that. Okay.
before that,
Before that.
after they take care of Psycheel, Matt and Anya share a very tender moment.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, actually, that's after this, but
Oh,
yes.
okay, fine. Well, do your thing, man. You do your own timeline.
So, yeah. Well, there's an animation error with her shockwave because it shoots towards Turbo and then it cuts across the wrong background, which is the background for the next scene. So it
Okay.
looks really weird. And then all of a sudden, like when Turbo shoots the shockwave, then magically Crasher and Copter appear on that same background.
I was wondering. I thought there was a weird, like, I don't know if it was a lag of the animation, but apparently that's what's going on.
Yeah, like I said, they were rushing to wrap this up because,
Yeah.
again, it was all about timing. And they only beat Transformers to the air by a few days with this.
Nice.
So, yeah, they probably got a message from Tonka like, "Hey, we need to step it up. Just get it done."
Guys,
So, yeah,
get it wrapped up.
all the nice, clean, polished stuff from the like first couple episodes. Yeah, it's kind of being put on hold because they're like, "Yeah, we've got to beat them to TV. We beat them to the shelves. We got to beat them to TV." So if they'd had a comic to go along with this, like if they'd gone with DC or something for it, then you never know, they might have got the trifecta.
Yeah, that would have been nice, but I don't know. This is really, to me, it works really well, the way they have it.
Oh yeah. And we had another animation error in that same fight with Crasher and Copter.
Oh,
Cuz
crap.
Copter throws his rotor at him at Nick and AJ and Turbo.
That's right. Is it
And
kind of like there's a stall thing where it stops?
yeah, it stops, but the camera keeps panning like it was supposed to track it.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden like the lag lets go and it catches up to
Yeah.
where it should have been to where the camera was tracking. So
Yeah.
yeah, and that's when Nick and AJ show up with the G.I. Joe surplus tanks.
Yes, and
With
they're actually really well. They actually look like G.I. Joe surplus tanks, but they also look like very Black Rock style tanks.
Oh yeah, they've got the yeah, totally, and they've got the double cannons on them
Yeah.
and the bubble cockpit, which it kind of
Yes.
reminds me it's a little bit like the Negavator from Transformers.
It is actually. It's very much like the Negavator.
And what was it, Sean Berger's like sci-fi tanks that he was at his solar power station?
Yes.
Yeah,
That's exactly what I was thinking of. Yes.
which again, these tanks came first. So.
Yeah.
But
Actually,
yeah, that
it's a great
was.
catch. I knew I understood. I recognize this from somewhere.
Well, and I think that was a good like sci-fi design or tanks on cartoons, because I'm pretty sure we've seen that in other places too.
Oh yeah, totally.
Yeah. It wouldn't surprise me to see that like in Super Friends or something.
You're not wrong at all.
Yeah.
That's great.
So, yeah, that's when we get to the point where, yeah, Matt Hunter kisses a commie.
They have a tender moment and they kiss.
Man, being a NASA employee, just that alone, he is in so much trouble.
Oh, he is blacklisted at this point.
Yeah. I mean, he wrecks a space shuttle and then, he's practically sleeping with the enemy. So.
My notes were, there's a tender moment.
I literally put Matt Hunter kisses a commie.
Yeah, of course, my approach is much softer than yours.
Yeah,
I appreciate
I'm getting in touch with the Reagan era there.
that. Anything you want,
Oh man.
deregulation completely.
Right? Yeah, let's just do that and then let's sell arms to everybody on the planet.
So, there's a Psych Hill gets like that he's fine. He gets thrown into this almost like a chamber or a pipe or something,
It's
and
like a big vat type, like a closed vat.
he melts through it though, and you see him like they're all like celebrating like, but wait, there's Psych Hill. He's escaping. He's like just trotting through this doorway.
That's the moment I told you about last time, because he's down there and you think he's down, and they cut away and they cut back and like, oh no, he's gone. That's the Michael Myers moment.
Oh, it is.
Yeah,
You
they
assume
shot
he's
him out of the
dead.
yard. Yeah, and you look out and he's gone.
Yeah,
And
the
it's
thing
like,
is, though, you can't kill Soundwave that easily, man. Just like Michael Myers, he is the shape.
oh yeah, he's
But my
Psy-Kill.
favorite part of this episode, though, Psycho shows up and tells Brax that he's leaving and giving him control of Earth.
Oh yeah, he passed it on. He's like, oh really? Oh great, thanks
And
man.
then he shoots the crust.
Oh yeah, he blasts a pulsar generator so he can't control anybody, and he's gonna die.
Oh, he's like, good luck keeping it. What?
What do
And
you mean?
Pax is like, what are you doing right now?
And his first reaction is like, oh no, I won't be able to control the people. And it's like, oh no,
The
the
sorium.
sorium's gonna blow up. It's like, and Psy-Kill's goodbye moment was like the best thing when he tells him, like, basically, bailing on you and leaving you to die just really makes my day.
He actually, the line was, "Frankly, Braxis, leaving you behind makes my day."
Yeah.
Perfect. No notes.
He could have asked for being Braxis with him, but he's like,
He could
nah,
have, but he didn't want to.
this guy, I'm gonna leave you to die. That's like
Oh,
my silver lining right there.
that's so good. Psych Hill's like, "Yeah, I could save you, but I'm not going to. Bye. Good
And
luck."
he kind of says goodbye to himself, to Crasher and Copter, because they've been captured or they're still
They're
somewhere else.
beat up. It's
Yeah,
like your sacrifices will be remembered.
and he just bails on everybody and Astro beams himself to Thruster.
Yep, and like leaves on thruster. He blasts out of the atmosphere and he's gone. But wait, there's more.
Yes.
Leader One is like, can we astro beam the sorium somewhere? And like, yeah, of course you can. Well, hope my coordinates are correct. And he astro beams the sorium that's going critical into a cloud of Zods heading towards Gobatron.
Yeah, the Zod Armada gets a dose of sorium and it
Ah.
detonates and just takes them all out.
Yep.
So that really would have wrecked Earth.
Yeah, if he
Yeah.
destroyed all the Zods, yeah,
Oh,
it would
yeah.
have massively wrecked Earth.
Cheyenne Mountain would have been a pit.
Yeah, it would have, dude, the whole planet would have
Cheyenne
been a pit.
Memorial Crater. Yeah.
Yeah, but after everything's happy, done, everything's happy, everything's great, and the Guardians are leaving on the command center,
Oh,
and they're
well,
like,
wait. We've got Crasher, Copter, and Braxis are all captured.
yeah, sorry,
Yeah.
got a little ahead of myself.
It's all right. And
Yeah, I
here's
know.
something I was wondering about Psy-Kill astro beaming himself out. Astro Beam is temporary. So in 48 hours, is
Oh.
it gonna beam him back to the
Oh.
destroyed Earth? I was like,
Well, we'll see
Yeah, inquiring minds want to know.
what happens next. But for right now,
Yes.
yeah. That'll happens, and like the
Here's you. Now we're up to where you were talking about, where
yeah.
Anya, Matt, AJ, and Nick are talking to the Guardians and saying their goodbye, and I'll miss you
Yeah.
most of all, Scarecrow.
And they're like, you can come with us if you want. Yeah, oh, really? Well, that's kind of cool. And the general at China Mountain's like, we've got a lot of questions for you guys.
Oh yeah, NASA has a ton of questions for Dr. Anya and Matt.
So they leave.
Yeah, they just decide they're just taking off. And Anya says, Ishkabibble.
Well, okay, you actually translated that?
Oh yeah, well, you don't really have to translate it because it's not Russian. It's mock Yiddish. It's not
Okay.
Yiddish. It's meant to sound Yiddish. It there was a American comedian from the 1940s and 50s named Ish Kabibble, okay? And his name came from like a little song he did, which was it was fake Yiddish. And it's supposed to mean like, should I worry or it doesn't matter to me. And this is tied to Alfred E. Newman's What Me Worry. So it's basically that thing. So it's like, I don't give a crap is basically what it means.
Nice.
Yeah, but that's what it was a, like there was a joke song and he made it his character name he do where he was like a bumbling musician
Nice.
cuz he was actually an accomplished cornet player.
Coronet of all things.
Yes,
Nice.
and he worked that into his act. His real name was Merwin Bogue, if I'm saying that right. But yeah. So
Cool.
yeah,
So
he was kind of a big deal in the 40s and 50s. And so that's a reference to that and the mock Yiddish saying.
that's kind of cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
The writers were like, there was a writer on this show who loved that comedian.
Oh yeah, somebody like that or like the song or you know.
I was actually going to look that up, but I completely forgot too. I'm glad you knew what was going on with that. So
Oh yeah,
really
you know, if
cool.
there's something that sticks out, I gotta find out what it is.
Obscure weirdness that sticks out.
Yep. So
Great job.
while General Lindley is yelling basically, you know, hammer. Now they take off, they warp off into, you know, towards Gobatron in the command center with the GoBots.
Hopefully there's oxygen on the Gobatron in the atmosphere, so we'll see what happens. It was really cool. Whenever the pulsar generator got destroyed, the waves around Earth kind of reminded me a little bit of a magnetic field look. So what I was like, I watched that and I was like, I don't remember this, the magnetic field part. But it cleared up, you realize what happened. But it was really kind of neat. But I love that point because there are so many more satellites than it showed,
Oh yeah, that was
even
just
at that point.
that was a quick and dirty is
Yes,
what that
they're very
was.
quick and dirty.
Yeah.
This whole thing was like a lot of fun, though. I gotta say, I really enjoyed all of this. It's just it was a fun mini series to watch.
Oh yeah. And Turbo told him, "Hey, we're going to track down Psy-Kill too because right now he's the only renegade left that's free."
That because they show off that they have Crasher and Copter in custody,
Yeah.
and we don't really know what's going on with the Psy-Kill because when the Zod bomb went off the Sorium, he was in thruster and he was getting beat up pretty bad across
And he was not
space.
happy when he saw it blow up, so
No, he wanted to go back to Gobatron as a Cochrane hero, but he was not. So it's one of those weird things with the series because in a way they are the oppressed that are trying to get the freedom, but the Guardians are supposed to be the good guys. So go with that what you will.
Yeah, the establishment.
Yeah. Sometimes the establishment's okay, sometimes it's not, but here we are.
They're always a good guy till they put you in the brainstormer.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
Oh,
But
God.
yeah, so
Brainstormer.
we've got it book we've got a bookend for it, but it's kind of open-ended. It's like, Darth Vader tumbling away from the Death Star.
Actually, that's exactly what I thought of when I saw that. When this Luke destroys the Death Star, you have Darth Vader and his little TIE fighter. He's like going through space, twirling around. He stops and corrects it. So yeah, exactly what Cycle was like. That's actually kind of funny. We're, you and I are a few years off, so we have a lot of the same pop culture references. So
Oh
kind of works
yeah.
really well.
We weren't that far off.
No, not at all. I'm
Yeah.
just prettier.
No, yeah. Well, that's a given. I don't
I'm
know. My Jeeper Creeper face right now is rather nice.
That works, man.
As opposed to my normal creeper face.
You paralyzed me with that one.
But yeah, it's really good. And when we get into the next miniseries on this, yeah, because I think we really should go straight in it. You'll see there's some good continuity between them.
Okay, cool. Yeah, you're saying the next miniseries was shown at the end of season one, but really it plays in to being right after this miniseries, right?
Right. Yeah, it should be. It's weird the way they do it because some treat this miniseries as season one and then the stuff that follows as season two. So it could be like a season two opener or. Honestly, I think it was done a little more like the way they did G.I. Joe with like mini series building up.
I was going to say that because like G.I. Joe is very weird. Like all the little miniseries leading up to season one were considered as kind of season one, but they weren't.
Right. Yeah, it
So I
was
could
just
see
a
that.
bunch of little, mini series. And they were doing this like in case they didn't get any more episodes done, they wanted this to market the toys. And
Hey, that
first and
works.
foremost, that's what this was. This was a toy commercial.
I mean, you got a lot of characters really quickly shown, like whether you have like Jeeper Creeper or you have was it Conehead or Drillhead,
Screwhead.
Screwhead. You had a lot of like quick cameos.
Yeah,
So I mean,
Crane Brain,
Loco,
all those guys. Yeah,
yeah.
Loco. And notice that was heavier in the last couple episodes.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, they made sure to try to get as many as they could packed into that, especially the final countdown.
Yeah. So yeah, it was obviously something that was meant for exploitation of toys, but they did it a good way. They didn't really beat it over your head with
Yeah, well, and
it.
they gave it a good story.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
So you can't ask for
And
more than that.
they did a lot to work the play pattern in too.
Especially with Zod.
Yeah. You knew exactly how to play with these toys after you watched this show.
Yeah, it's kind of nice.
Yeah.
So definitely great. Everyone, real quick, if you enjoy the episode, you want to follow us or give us a like on YouTube or whatever podcast thing you're listening on. If you want to like email the show, it's morethanmeetsthesguys@gmail.com. If you want to join the Discord, the Discord is in the actual show notes, so please come along. We have a really small but really really active community. And it's kind of nice that way. You don't have too much going on. But also, I would invite you to join or seek out the axelonunderground.com or .net, whichever you prefer. So we are all like a tight group of fans, and we welcome everyone who wants to say hi and join up with the fun. And please, if you have any questions, if you have any comments, email or message on the Discord. So we appreciate you being here. This is something that I love doing. I take out a time out of my everyday personal life to make sure I can do this, and I'm glad that that Boo has no personal life of his own, so he can join me in all this stuff.
I get weekend release from the zoo.
Okay, your time's almost up, man. It is late. You
Yeah,
are overdue for the zoo.
they're serving bananas with duct tape.
Squishy brown ones, the sweetest kind.
Of course, you gotta, they age like fine wine.
I'm sure you can get some recipes off of some our best some prison hooch with some aged bananas. So good luck with
Oh yeah. Gotta have
that.
that toilet fermentation.
Oh yeah.
The renegades are going to be doing that.
The toilet merlot.
Right.
Everyone, thanks for being here tonight, and I appreciate you all checking us out, listening to your entire episode for a couple old guys are rambling over their stuff. And please come back next week. And thank you so much for being here. Boo, you want to take us out?
Bye.
Bye.